is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in very little, in very little things, is unrighteous also in much. It's a great challenge that Jesus brings, that you got to be faithful in the little things. The Bible talks about in Zechariah, it says, despise not the day of small beginnings. The Lord rejoices to see the work begin. God's not interested in the end result. He's just saying, did you get started? Are you just going to get moving with this thing? The Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. This is the story about rebuilding the temple. And it says, don't despise the day of small beginnings. The temple was massive. And all Zerubbabel did was get the plumb line out. How do we make sure these walls are straight? And it says, despise not the day of small beginnings. And I just feel like the Holy Spirit saying, be faithful in the little things and God will take care of the big things.
Zechariah 4, 1 through 6. Then the angel who talked with me returned and woke me up like someone awakened from sleep. He asked me, what do you see? I answered, I see a solid gold lampstand with a bowl at the top and seven lamps on it with seven channels to the lamps. Also, there are two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on its left. I asked the angel who talked with me, what are these, my Lord? He answered, do you not know what these are? No, my Lord, I replied. So he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. The prophet's spirit was willing to attend, but the flesh was weak. We should beg of God that whenever he speaks to us, that he would awaken us, leading us to stir ourselves up. The church is a golden candlestick established to enlighten this dark world, its brilliance designed to bring forth the light of divine revelation. Mirroring creation as darkness attempts to consume our world, God speaks light. God brings to pass his gracious purposes concerning his church without any art or labor of man. For if God isn't building it, man is laboring in vain. Sometimes he makes use of his instruments, yet he needs them not. This represented the exceeding abundance of divine grace for the enlightening and making holy the ministers and members of the church, which cannot be procured or prevented by any human power. The vision assures us that the good work of building the temple should be brought to a joyous end. The difficulty is represented as a great mountain, but all difficulties shall vanish and all the objections overcome. His spirit will remove mountains and level them into plains. His spirit will see the foundation and from it raise a cathedral. His spirit will take the untouched stone and from it carve out the sculpture. Despite any distractions, destruction, or confusion, in the face of the impossible or the face of the insurmountable, God will build his church. So despise not the days of small beginnings. For Christ, mountains of difficulty were in the way of his undertaking. But nothing remains impossible for him. For he will not forsake the work of his own hands. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty.
Who can say amen to that? Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. This year, I got to tell you, every year we pray about what would the theme be? What is the word of the Lord for Wave Church? And I really felt like last year, it was don't lose your dance. And as I've been praying over the last couple of months for 2022, I really feel like the Holy Spirit put in me Zechariah 4. And it says, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. Do you know what that reminds me of? Just for me, what it reminds me of, it's not about huffing and puffing. We don't have to be the big bad wolf, open the door and let me in. And we got to huff and we got to puff. Actually, we just need, not by might, not by power. It's not by striving. It's just let God do his work. Can you say amen? And that's what I really feel like for Wave Church for this year. And that means for us, that's the word of the Lord for people who are part of Wave, that let God build a house. Unless the Lord builds a house, they that labor, labor in vain. It's not that we're not laboring. It's just that our labor is not in vain because God is building his house. Who can say amen to that? Amen. Come on, welcome all of our campuses online. Richmond, Wilson, Seaboard Road, Norfolk, Richmond downtown. Can we welcome all of our campuses? Did I miss someone? Norfolk, I mentioned Norfolk. And I want to give a special shout out. Just about a week ago, Sharon and I, maybe 2 weeks ago, flew down to Duke University where we got to watch Duke play Clemson. And there's a young man in our church, actually, I think since he was 1 year old. Is that right, honey? Since he was 1 year old, who is now 7 foot tall and plays for Duke University. His sister, Elizabeth, actually also played for Duke, and she went on to the women's national basketball and was playing for, I think, Atlanta, but just now has transferred to Washington, D.C., and we were down at the Cameron Indoor Stadium. I got to tell you, that I didn't know the atmosphere I was walking into. And a shout out to the most amazing parents, Dr. Alex and Margaret Williams, who've raised three amazing kids. And I love it when I was watching Mark every Sunday walk out of our lobby. He'd have to duck, not under the exit sign, but under the door frame to get under the door frame. And a shout out to Mark and to Elizabeth, just amazing, and to their incredible parents. And I'm a Duke fan, because we got some people from Wave playing for Duke in Jesus' name. But I had no idea. Everyone says to me, that's the mega of all college basketball stadiums. There is no greater stadium to be in. Well, I've got no idea. Basketball is the sport, as you can tell, is the one I talk about the least. My argument is, why go to an NBA game? Because it's always 80 points all with 2 minutes to go. But little did I know the atmosphere. And I got to tell you, these Duke fans, they're amazing. I actually thought to myself, man, we the church have got a whole lot more to be excited about than a basketball. But I'm telling you, the fans made that basketball. Sharon goes, I was never a basketball fan, but now I'm the biggest basketball fan. Just being in the atmosphere. And I thought to myself, church, come on, we need to lift our game. We're in God's house. Amen. We can do better. We can do better. And anyway, so that was good. I know, Josh, you already gave a shout out to Carter, who actually won the regional championship, I guess, in wrestling. Well done, Carter. That's pretty. I love it to see young men, young women rising up in the house of God, doing great things for the Lord. Who can say amen? All right, well, today is Vision Sunday, and of course, it's a challenge when you've been the pastor of a church for 23 years, because if your vision's changing every year, you really don't know where you're going. Usually, a vision is a long way off and takes a lot of effort, a lot of focus, and a lot of determination, and always a lot of time for that to be fulfilled. Whenever God gives you a vision, let me just say this, you don't need a second hand on your watch. It usually means it's out there. And so when you've been the pastor of the same church for 23 years, how many know the vision doesn't change really all that much in 23 years, but how do you say the same thing differently? To help people focus and stay on track with the vision, I want to share with you just 10 principles of vision. Anybody who knows me knows I'm a strong believer in vision. Matter of fact, it's probably my signature message. I don't have any scriptures tattooed on my body. I have some pastor friends who do have scriptures. Joe, do you have any scriptures tattooed on your body? Not that you know of, at least. Praise the Lord. Josh, I've been wondering, you've got so many tattoos. Surely you've got one Bible verse on your...
It symbolizes scripture.
You have not one Bible verse. Now, just for those who don't know, I actually do have some tattoos. It's the names of my grandchildren on my back. And Josh's goal is that between him and his brother and his sister, they have so many children, it goes from my back right down. And I said, Josh, you don't understand. I have two shoulders. Praise the Lord. So it won't be going right down to here. Praise the Lord. And I think if you love your grandchildren, you'll get their names tattooed on the back. Sharon said to me, why don't you get the names of your children tattooed on the back? And I said, who? Oh, are they still alive? All that matters is those grandkids. Who can say amen? So I was saying all that to say that if there was ever a Bible verse, and I won't, but if ever there was a verse, it would be this one. Proverbs 29, 18. Look what it says. It says, where there is no revelation, it says, people cast off restraint. But blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. Where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. What's revelation? It's an illumination of the Word of God. It's a divine supernatural enlightening of who God is, what God's plan is for your life. Matter of fact, the King James puts it this way. Where there is no vision, the people perish. I love that because the word vision, the word revelation, really what the scripture is trying to say, if you don't have a God-given vision for your life, people perish. People cast off restraint. Listen to this. I want to encourage you today that you need to live with vision for your life. And you need to have a revelation of what it is that God's called you to do. And the Bible says if you don't have it, it says you cast off restraint. It says people perish. I've heard people say this all the time. If I was just more disciplined, I would lose weight. If I was just more disciplined, I'd have more money. If I was more disciplined, I would actually be more punctual. I mean, if I was just more disciplined with my finances, can I tell you, it is not more discipline that you or I need. It's a clearer vision of what God has for our life. The Bible says where there is no vision, people cast off restraint. So you have no vision for your life, eat whatever you want, whenever you want it. Every morning this last week, Sean and I were down with a bunch of pastors. We're with Craig Rochelle, Andy Stanley, Carrie Newhoff, some of the most influential, prominent pastors in the United States. Carrie doesn't count. He's from Canada. But he's still an influential person. And we're with some of the largest church builders in the United States. I was so encouraged to hear them share how they are navigating in this season. Probably has never been a more challenging time for pastors in my life, in my ministry life of 38 years. I've been ordained for 40 years. But in my ministry life, I don't think there's been a more testing, more trying season than these last couple of years. With everything goes on with COVID, with everything going on with culture, with everything going on with social race issues, with everything going on with politics. And I was so encouraged to hear Craig Rochelle, Andy Stanley just really reinforce a lot of things that I feel like are important. That we don't politically align ourselves as a church with any one political party. That we are here to keep the mission of the church gospel-centered in Jesus' name. Amen. God's not a Republican, God's not a Democrat, God's not even an American. But without a vision, you cast off restraint. So here's the thought. If I was just more disciplined, I'd be healthier. If I was more disciplined, I'd have more money. I wouldn't just be spending it as quick as it came in. But it's not more discipline that we need, it's vision. See, the Bible says without a vision, people cast off restraint. So it's not discipline that you need, it's vision. And vision creates the discipline. Are you hearing me? Discipline is a byproduct. It's a consequence of having vision. Amen? So I want to encourage you today to understand the Bible says that not only do you perish without vision, but those who God has called you to reach will perish without vision, without you having vision. I think about my life, and I don't think it would be in any stretch of the imagination to say that since I've given my life to Jesus, and I have had the opportunity both personally to lead people to a faith in Christ personally, but then on top of that, what God's called me to do to preach the gospel, that in my 40 years of ministry, I would absolutely confidently say hundreds of thousands of people have come to know Christ because of the opportunity God's given me to preach the gospel. And so not only do I need to live with the vision that God has for my life, but as a result of that, God's given me the ability to reach a whole lot of people. So without a vision, not only do I perish, but perhaps those God has called me to reach could perish. Praise the Lord. And I want you to think about the vision that God has for your life. And so again, I want you to think about it. If I just had more discipline. No, no, my friend. It's not more discipline, it's more vision. Because with vision, you put on the restraint of that vision. So if your vision is to get out of debt, as was Sharon and ours a number of years ago, and we've accumulated debt since then, but at the time we decided that we wanted to get out of debt, and so we actually set a goal that we weren't going to spend any money except to pay down debt, of course tithe, of course give to legacy. Amen. Because if you stop tithing to get out of debt, you've missed the whole point. You've made everything about you. It's got to be God first. And so we decided we could do that. I'll never forget, at that time, we both agreed to it. We said, yep, we're going to wear the restraint of that vision. We are going to do that. And so an opportunity came along, because I love motorcycles. It was always the will of God to ride a motorcycle. Harley Davidsons are the will of God. Hallelujah, David's son. It's in the Bible. The other bikes don't count. Maybe a Triumph. Moses rode a Triumph in the desert, didn't he? That's about it. Praise the Lord. If you ride a Honda, you might be filled with the Holy Spirit. Who stole a Honda? Some of you missed that. You'll get it later. I remember it was, and I said to Sharon, we're going to get out of all this debt, credit cards, toys. We're just going to pay for everything. And we were really on track. And then an opportunity came along for someone was selling a chopper that was worth $40,000, and they were selling it for $20,000. Its value was $40,000. And I remember I went to Sharon and I said, honey, come on. I know we said our vision is to get out of all debt. But if we borrowed $20,000, because we didn't have $20,000 to pay for it, if we borrowed $20,000, then we'll actually make $20,000 because the bike's worth $40,000. Guys, how many know we can twist reality when we want our own end in mind? And Sharon goes, no, we had a vision. We agreed. We prayed. We made an agreement together. I said, but darling, think about it. Think about the asset. Think about the opportunity. And then I just nagged her. And finally, she goes, all right, buy the motorcycle. I don't care. Well, I got to be honest with you. For a moment there, I went, yes. And then she goes, just don't go preaching your sermons to me and make sure you understand you're no longer wearing the restraint of our vision. I hate it when she preaches sermons back at me and she's right. And so I decided I'm not going to do that. Why? It's not more discipline, it's vision. And so I remember saying, okay, I'm not going to do it. God, and by the way, it was the motorcycle that I really wanted. It had a 300 wide tire. It was a stretched out, beautiful engine, 1800 cc's. It was the best paint job you've ever seen. It was beautiful. I said, God, I'm going to pass on that because of my vision. And do you know what? Several years later, some friends of mine from around the world, not from Wave Church, but from around the world, who I guess over the many years of being in ministry have been a great blessing to, all heard that I wanted the chopper. And do you know what they did? They came up with the cash and gave me an amount of cash and said, Steve, go build the custom chopper you've always wanted. I thank God I wore the restraint of that vision. I could have got an Ishmael. I could have made it happen my way, but if I trust God, I got an Isaac. Praise the Lord. And still to this day, I look at that chopper in my garage and I say, thank you, Lord, for the power of wearing the restraint of a vision. Am I talking to anybody here today? Come on. Habakkuk 2, verse 2, it says, then the Lord replied, write down the revelation, make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For though the revelation awaits for an appointed time, it speaks to the end. It will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It certainly will come. It will not delay. I love the language there. Though it linger, wait for it. It certainly will come. It will not delay. Though it linger. Do you see that? That would linger, wait for it. It will not delay. It's like, that's almost a contradiction of terms. And then I want you to look at this. It says here in the King James, it puts it this way, make it plain on tablets. And I want to encourage you, just 10 things I've learned about vision over my life. Number one, vision is the only thing Jesus ever prayed for someone twice to be healed. Matter of fact, Jesus never prayed for anybody twice except for one man who was blind. And the first time he prayed for him, he says, what do you see? And the man said, I see men as trees walking. And then Jesus prayed a second time. How is it? How important is vision? That God himself actually had to pray for a human being twice to get their vision cleared up. Can I tell you something? Vision is important, because without it, not only will you perish, but those who God's called you to reach has perished. And if we don't have vision as a church corporately, then God, who God's called us to reach, will perish in Jesus' name. And so vision is important. Number two, listen to this. We and others perish if we have no vision. Number three, vision keeps you wearing its restraints. If you have vision, you're going to say, I'm not going to eat that today because I got a vision to be healthy. It's not discipline, it's vision. Number four, a God-given vision requires faith and patience. Oh, I've met some people who've got, oh, am I switching? I forgot to take this off. I've met some people who've got all sorts of faith for all sorts of things. Man, I got a vision. I'm going to have the biggest company in the United States. I got a vision. I'm going to be doing this for God, and I'm going to be doing that for God, and I'm going to be pastoring this size church, and I got a vision that this company's going to go over the top, blasting, overflowing with the abundance of God. I got a vision. I have 1,000 employees. I got a vision. I'm going to turn over $100 million of my company. And I say amen to all that. That's faith. That's awesome. And my concern is we don't think big enough. Oh, thank you for that underwhelming response. Unto him who was able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. My concern is we're too small. My concern is we actually limit God. But let me tell you something. We need faith and patience. And I've seen some people give up on the dream that God has for them, not because of a lack of faith, but because of a lack of patience. Though it tarry, wait for it. It speaks to the end. Though it linger, it will come. And what we need is the power twins. We need faith and we need patience. And I've seen some people, oh, they got all the patience in the world, but they've lost faith. Think about Zechariah. The Bible says he executed the priest's office before God in order of the course, according to the custom. It was his lot to burn incense. He was executing the priest's office before God in order of the course, according to the custom. It was his lot. Been there, done that, bought the t-shirt. He's been doing this for a long time. He was blameless, walked in all the commandments and all the ordinance of the Lord blamelessly. And then Zechariah, the Bible says an angel appears. Fear not. God's heard your prayer. You're going to have a son. So somewhere, Zechariah prayed that he would have a son. Now, many years later, God comes to answer the prayer. And let me tell you something. He got so patient that he lost faith. So when the angel came, he said, God heard your prayer. And Zechariah goes, what prayer? The prayer for a son. Oh, come on. Look at me. Look how old I am. Look at my wife. She's well stricken in years. She's past childbearing. She was already barren in the first place. Now you're going to come and tell me it's all going to happen? Can I tell you, sometimes people have got so much patience, they've lost faith. Can I encourage you today to hang on to your vision, to keep faith and patience? Come on, somebody. Without a vision, number five, you go back to your past. Oh, this one's so true. Without a vision, you go back. Matter of fact, I love what the Bible says. Look at this verse here. It says in Proverbs 26, verse 11, as a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. I love that verse because it actually is a very, it's a very graphic. It's a very, it's like, a, it's not a great verse, is it really? Let's be honest. I don't want to gross you out here, but you ever seen a dog just chuck? And then you just get, that is the most grotesque thing you could ever see. But something even more grotesque happens when the dog goes back to that and begins to eat up its own. How many just want me to stop right now? Okay, but the whole point is it's grotesque. But that's what it looks like when someone goes back to their past. That's what it looks like, someone who gets saved and actually goes back to the person they were before. Matter of fact, I actually think things can get even worse. Not only do you go back to your past, I know people who've maybe given their life to Christ and they were redeemed and saved by the blood of Jesus and God really began to work in their lives and maybe they had to overcome a few challenges. Maybe for one person it was an addiction, maybe it was drunkenness. I've seen people who once were walking with God who actually turn away from the Lord and go back to their past and actually start picking up the same addiction, but I've discovered they pick up a few new ones to go along with it. The Bible is very clear. Without a vision, you go back to your past. Look at Judas. Judas had this great vision of his future. As long as Jesus was alive, he was the man in charge of the ministry and the money of Jesus' ministry. And so Judas was helping himself to the finances. Judas was actually robbing Jesus of his finances. Don't you love how the Bible doesn't hide our humanity? Don't you love how the Bible is just really truthful? And how here, I mean, I don't love what Judas did, by the way. But I love how God doesn't ignore that stuff. Judas was a crook. Judas was helping himself, enriching himself. And could you imagine Judas thinking, well, there's going to be many years of ka-ching for me. And then Jesus starts talking about, I'm going to die. So now Judas has no vision. He has no future with Jesus because the money's going to stop. So what does Judas do? He goes and sells Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Why? Because he had no vision for his future. Can I tell you, without a vision, you'll always go back to your past in Jesus' name. Turn to the person next to you and say, this sure isn't Cameron Indoor Stadium right now. Well, I mean, praise the Lord, this is crickets. Can anybody say amen? Okay, number six, vision must be written down. I want to encourage you, at the beginning of every new year, write down your vision. The Bible says that the sons of Issachar were discerners of the time and of the seasons. And the Bible says here, write down the vision, make it plain. And if it's not plain, if it's not clear, keep fine-tuning it until it is clear. What's the vision of Way Church? To get heaven to party. To see people come to a saving knowledge of Christ, discover why God has saved them and how God has called them in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you are not able to articulate your vision in a single sentence or at least a single paragraph, can I tell you, make it plain. Your vision has to be written down. Sharon and I, every January, go away for 10 days and we sit together and come up with a vision that we have for our life and the pastors of Wave Church and to make sure that we're hearing from God as to everything that we believe God wants us to accomplish. It is written down. Sharon and I will sit down and share with each other overnight what it is that I feel like God's putting in my heart for us as a married couple, for us as a church. Can I encourage you? Do you have a vision that is written down in Jesus' name? It starts with simple things. For us, tithing is not an option. When it comes to finances, that's God's. Then it goes to legacy. What are we going to give the legacy? We'll mark that out. And then we sit down and say, what are we believing God for in terms of being able to retire one day? Which is no time soon. I still got a lot of preaching in me. And everybody said, but I'm surrounded by some amazing preachers who I want to make sure they get a great voice and raise up as well in Jesus' name. Amen. Is your vision written down? Number seven, all God vision has first steps. All God vision. Now listen, how do you eat an elephant? Okay, you look at an elephant, there's no way I can eat that. Well, the only way you'll ever do it is look at the first bite and take the first bite. Sometimes our vision is so big that we think to ourselves, there's nothing I can do today that's going to cause me to move toward my vision. But the Bible says, listen to this, watch this. So he that runs may read. In other words, they're reading what is written, but they're taking their first step on the journey. I love it in Zechariah 4. It says, do not despise these small beginnings. Why? For the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. What's this verse about? It's about rebuilding the temple. It's about rebuilding Jerusalem. And the Bible says, I know, God said, I know this is a big work. I know it's magnificent. I know it is beyond your ability to conceive how it can be done because the magnitude of this work is big and it's large. But don't despise the day of small beginnings. In other words, when you lay the first brick, that's when the Lord gets excited. It's still a long way off. There's still a lot to be done. But I want to tell you, when you got vision and you take the first step, the Lord rejoices. place. When you decide that you're going to actually go to the gym and get healthy, but what's the beginning of that? Well, number one, you set the alarm to get up early in the morning. The moment you set the alarm, the Lord goes, yay! The work has begun. You set the alarm. You gotta take the first step in Jesus' name. When you decide to pass on that food because it's not healthy for you, the Lord, you haven't lost any weight yet, but the work has begun. When you wear the restraint of the vision of your finances and you pass on buying that thing and you put it in the savings account, it may be small, but do not despise the day of small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work. Come on, somebody. Look at this verse, 1 Kings 18. The seventh time, the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand, is rising from the sea. And so Elijah says, that's it, go tell Ahab it's going to rain. Well, the Bible tells me, I don't have time to read all the verses, that Elijah was praying for rain and he prayed seven times. And seven times he sent his servant, go tell me, because it was just blue skies. That's all there was. And he goes, go tell me, do you see any clouds? And the man came back six times and said, there's no clouds. But on the seventh time, the servant goes, well, there's a cloud. It's kind of small and it's the size of a man's. And that's all Elijah did. Go tell the king it's going to rain. Can I encourage you today? Just take baby steps towards your vision. Don't get overwhelmed by how far off it is. The Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Come on, somebody, give God some praise in every campus. Come on, Richmond. Come on, Norfolk. Come on, Seaboard. Come on, Wilson. Come on, let's give God praise. Come on. Number eight, vision must be kingdom-minded. Has to be. It's got to be more than just you. It's got to be more than he who is wrapped up in himself is a small parcel. Amen. It's got to be kingdom-minded. It can't just be what it is that you want for your life. It's got to be, God, use me so I can be a blessing to others. Number nine, vision will sustain you when it seems impossible. When I first moved to Virginia Beach 23 years ago, and I felt like God called Sharon and I and our three kids, I'll never forget, Sharon came to America and she found it overwhelming. And she goes, Steve, I don't know if I can do this. I can't do this. I said, honey, I would never, ever take you across the world and you'd leave your mother and father. And we had a great church and we had a great job. No reason to go on the natural, except I felt God called us to go. But I know Sharon hears from God better than I does. Better than I do, rather. That's good grammar, isn't it? I know Sharon can hear. I know she's more spiritual than I am. She is closer to the Holy Spirit than I am. I promise you. Sometimes I don't even need to hear from the Holy Spirit. I just have to ask Sharon. And I got to tell you something. This is the truth. I said, honey, I will never, ever drag you across the world and put you in another country that is foreign to you unless you feel like this is God. And I said, I mean this with all my heart. And I said it. I said, I will put no pressure on you. And I said, God, this is all you. I know what you put in my heart. But if you don't tell her and she doesn't have the same sense of calling and vision, then God, this is your problem. It is not mine. And I'm not being disobedient to you. This is you now. Do you know what? A week later, Sharon says to me, we're doing it. We're going. And I went, what? And I meant it with all my heart. You know, some man came up to me when I told that story and he said to me, well, what kind of husband are you that you can't lead your wife and just tell her the word of the Lord and tell her to submit? I said, are you married? He says, no. So my friend, I pray you never get married if that's what you think. So listen to this. When I knew, why did I do that? Because I knew there'll be times it'll be hard. I knew there'd be tough seasons. I knew there'd be times like for the last 2 years, COVID. I didn't know COVID would come, but I knew there would be challenging times. I remember one person just not that long ago wrote to me and said, I'm leaving the church. A person had been in that church for 15 years, maybe 18 years. And he goes, I'm leaving because you did not tell the church to vote for Donald Trump. You need to know, I would never tell you who to vote for. I will tell you, let's go with the Bible. But I will never tell you who to vote for. And this person said, you may as well, because you didn't lead the church into who to vote for. And because Donald Trump was pro all the things that this guy was pro, that he said, and by the way, I just make it clear, God, again, is not a Republican. God's not a Democrat. God's not even American. And I want this church to be full of Republicans and Democrats and Libertarians and Independents. And we're all Christians who love God, who have an interest in the political process. Amen. We are not Republicans who are Christians. We are Christians who have an interest in the political process. Amen. I want everybody to come to Wave Church and meet Jesus. I got to tell you something. I will not align this church with a political party. I won't do it. I will align the church with the Bible. I don't want someone going, well, if that's Christianity and you got to be Republican to be a Christian, then I don't want your God. Because that's not the issue. It's Jesus. Can you say amen? Or vice versa in Jesus' name. Why was I saying all that? Because I knew there'd be challenging times. And this person wrote to me and said, hey, you may as well, Steve, because you didn't tell people who to vote for, you may as well put an abortion, every abortion clinic in Virginia, you may as well put a Wave Church endorsed and condoned sign over every abortion place. Because I didn't tell people who to vote for. I discovered that day. And I said to the person, hey, man, you've been with us for a while. Is there a conversation? And I got to tell you, sad to say, this person, I realized just because someone's been with you for a while doesn't mean they're mature. Longevity does not mean maturity. And I got to tell you, that was hard for me. To accuse me of actually saying that I'm actually pro-abortions, I got to tell you, nothing could be further from the truth. And that was a hard thing for someone. I don't agree with that person. I don't agree with what they were trying to pressure me to do. Can I tell you something? The only thing that has kept me sometimes pastoring Wave Church, can I tell you something, is vision that can actually cause you to overcome impossible circumstances. Can I encourage you to keep your vision in Jesus' name? Amen? And by the way, what a challenging 2 years it's been. Mask, no mask. Vax, no vax. Number 10. Vision requires more effort at the halfway point. Boy, that's so true. See, I know when I first came here 23 years ago, there was, what's the vision? That was the biggest question, wasn't it, Robert? Everybody kept, what's the vision? Are we gonna buy the property here on Great Neck Road? Are we gonna build on Seaboard? Little did they know, I'm thinking we'll have both and then some. And here we are today living in the fulfillment of some of that vision. I'm speaking to Richmond, I'm speaking to Wilson, I'm speaking to Richmond downtown, I'm speaking to Richmond Glen Allen, I'm speaking to Richmond, I'm speaking to Norfolk, I'm speaking to Seaboard, and there's 20 of those I believe that we will have in the United States in Jesus' name. And so just think about this. In terms of just like vision for your life, and I want to encourage you, and I want you to catch it because I lost my train of thought, now I've got to get back to my notes. Praise the Lord. Yeah, at the beginning, 23 years ago, you distracted me, Robert. Seeing you on that video, so young, what happened to you? What happened to me? That was a young, handsome man. Up on that, look at Sharon. She looks more beautiful now than she did on the video, doesn't she? Well, when we first got started, man, come on, let's go. A lot of energy, a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of passion. Well, that's always good, and that's true at the beginning. You build teams, you gather. And then toward the end of that vision, as you get near the finish line, boy, isn't there excitement. It's like when I go horse riding with Sharon. We did it again just this week. We went horse riding. And when we got to the halfway point, we turned around. The guide told us, whatever you do, your horse is going to want to bolt. And they gave me a real feisty horse. I mean, I kept asking for the most old, decrepit horse that's on its last leg. They look at me and think, I can ride. And so I'm like, give me one that's about to die. And let me just ride this thing to the ground because I don't want a horse with any feistiness. I just want, and so I remember one time we were down at the beach here and we got to the fishing pier on the horse riding down there, and my horse turned around and it took off. And no one told me how to stop the horse. So what I did was I threw my arms around its neck and I'm slapping the horse in the face, trying to stop it. And then I'm kicking the horse, thinking that the kicking will stop it. Little did I know, Slapping a horse tells it to go faster. Kicking a horse, I'm doing everything than what I should be doing. But what happened was the horse saw the finish line and had all, by now, on the way up, you would have thought this thing was slow as molasses. You would have thought this thing was on its last leg. But the moment it saw that finish line, adrenaline came. That's what happens with vision. When you get started, it's all good. It's all there. Inertia, momentum, excitement, energy, passion, team building. When you get near the finish line, yay! You got strength you didn't know you had at the halfway point. Some of you in your business need to hear this. You're at the halfway point. It's like Nehemiah when he's rebuilding the walls in Jerusalem. At the halfway point, 10 times the amount of opposition. The enemy will come at you halfway through your vision. And I want to say this to you, as we're talking about vision and Wave Church, I want to encourage you, in terms of what God's called you to do, you might just be at that place of halfway. Can I tell you, that's when you need faith and patience. Can I tell you, that's when you got to keep wearing the restraint of your vision. Don't change your vision in Jesus' name. Come on, someone give the Lord a hand. Amen. So I got a few graphics I want to show you. Look up on the screen here real quick. I'm going to grab my iPad just for a moment. Here's some good reports of what's happening in Wave Church. We used to do this every month. We used to have a leadership training night, and then we realized we had the church way too busy, asking people to be out way too many times. So we sort of cut back on some of those things to be more strategic for longevity. And so we used to do this every year, show people a report, a bit of a pie chart. And I thought, well, today, Vision Sunday, it'd be good to do. Let me just say this. Legally, as far as I know, Josh, we don't have to get an audit as a church, but we choose to get one so that because I know this church is going to see a lot of money go through it, I want you to know that you can trust where the money's going. Are you hearing me? So we don't want to just be doing the right thing. We want to be seen to be doing the right thing. So let me get that. These reports is last year's finances what are yet to be audited, but they will be in about another month or two. The auditors will come in. We've done this every year, I don't know, for, what do you think, 20 years or so? And so here's what we did last year. Have a look on the top left there. And this is some good reports in our church campuses. We actually, through Wave City Care, have distributed 25,000 meals last year. 300 plus kids mentored through Shine Girl, Manpower, and through Wave Cheer. Look at the bottom number. Equipping and empowering over 100 plus churches and ministries through Wave Collective. That's what we did last year. Actually, it was 400 pastors that we've ministered to on an annual basis through Wave Collective. Look over to your left there. This is the figure I find the one that has to improve, but I put it up there because it's the honest statistic that needs improving. Last year, we only saw 192 people baptized in water in our campuses. I don't think that includes our youth camp and other things, but let me tell you, how many know that figure should be way higher than that? But look at the decisions. 3,391 people have made decisions in our campuses at Wave Church. I think that's worth giving God praise for coming out of COVID. Last year, we had 503 community groups with 6,943 people across all of our campuses. This is across everything. That's how many people were in community groups last year. I think that's good news. Our total revenue last year, this is just for Wave Church. This does not include Wave Children's Learning Center. This does not include Wave City Care. And it does not include Wave Leadership College. This is Wave Church tithes and offerings. Last year, $10.2 million. That's what you gave, what God gave through all of our campuses last year. And so there's the expenses of where that money goes. Ministry and services and outreach, almost $3 million went straight out to doing ministry and outreach. How many think that's a good report right there? Then our facilities, $2.8 million. That includes all of our campuses, not just here at Great Neck. It includes Richmond, it includes Wilson, it includes Seaboard, it includes Norfolk. And so, and the final one is personnel and benefits, 3.7. So look at the pie chart, 31% ministry and outreach, 30% facility, and 39% personnel and benefits. That's pretty much a healthy diagram for what nonprofits should be operating. And I just want you to know, listen, we haven't done this for a while, but we feel like it's really important to keep that in front of you. And I thought it'd be good to share it with you on a Vision Sunday. Look at the next chart. I think this chart's really cool. The very top thing, we gave $15,000 a week to missions last year, a week, an average. I mean, come on, church, that's worth giving God praise. That's what you do. What does it look like? Well, in Wetoto, it means there are 4,500 mothers who are equipped to start their own businesses. In Africa, we partner with Wetoto. And one of the things we do, strategically work with mums who can actually start their own businesses so they can feed their own families. It's not just teaching, not just giving somebody a fish, it's teaching someone how to fish. It's a self-sustaining model that you gave and helped that many women. Not only that, 15,000 girls were kept in school because of what we gave through Wave Legacy last year. How many think that's awesome? 15,000 girls. 700 students graduated and 1,500 babies were rescued last year. Babies. 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 Cheryl and I, we flew in last night. We flew in at midnight. We were in Denver Airport. And I looked at this baby. I don't know how old the baby was. Probably 6 months old. And I just, I mean, I don't know. I'm a grandparent now. I can't help it. Every time I see a baby, I just melt. And I'm just thinking, dear God, look at that figure. 1,500 babies were rescued. Amen. Babies. Because of what we did. Yes. Come on, because of what we did. Look at these numbers here. 300 plus new billboards on nationwide. That's with A21, which is the anti-human trafficking. That's what we did. Literally, Wave Church did that. Our gift to A21 empowered that in Jesus' name. 70 million people reached through those billboards. Listen to this. 235 victims freed from human trafficking last year. Our partnership with Convoy of Hope, look at this, 387,000 children. I was just at a meeting with them. It's now 470,000. Look at it. Look at this. Children fed every day. Come on, church. This is Vision Sunday. Write the vision down. Look at it says, 26,000 women and girls were empowered. Look at it, 480 disasters responded to worldwide. And right here in the United States, 62 disasters. Do you know those tornadoes in Kentucky? You were the first on the ground. You beat everybody else because Convoy was there and we're partnering with Convoy in Jesus' name. Man. 500,000 survivors were served. Let me tell you something. Not only when we partner in these world disasters are we the first in, but let me tell you something. We're the last out. Check it out. It's not just when the cameras are rolling. It's long after we're still there. I'm telling you something. Write down the vision. Make it plain. He that runs may read. Don't it tarry. Wait for it. Though it linger, it will not delay. It will come to pass. How many are glad you're a part of a church that's got some vision? Look at this. Online, last year, we saw 722 people give their life to Jesus. You know what it's about? Despise not the day of small beginnings. I believe online will be an increasing growth area for the church in Jesus' name. That doesn't mean less of you are going to be here in person. It means we're going to reach more people in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at this next one. 152,000 people were reached through Wave Church online last year. 152,000. Look at the next one. 2,500 plus people are subscribed to YouTube. Over 500 plus people watch Wave Church app online. Subscribers, look at this. In 4 short months across 26 states and 11 countries. That's in the last 4 months, Josh. That's amazing. Church, that's what we're doing. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Let me just close by saying this. I'll get the singers, musicians to come on back. You see, church, we're not just a Matthew 28 church. Matthew 28 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Amen? That's what it says. Discipling them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But we're a Matthew 25 church. And Matthew 25 says, hey, I was in prison. And you didn't visit me. I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was naked and you gave me nothing to keep warm. I was thirsty and you didn't give me a glass of water. And Jesus said to these people, depart from me, the separating of the sheep and the goats. I never knew you. And these people who thought
They were followers of Christ. Said, Lord, when did we see you naked? It's a parable, by the way. When did we see you naked? When did we see you hungry? When were you in prison? Jesus said, whatever you did to the least of these. I gotta prophesy something. I've had a burden for years to somehow, for Wave Church, at least in the state of Virginia, to get in our prisons and to put a TV show and a ministry, a voice into our prisons. And I've been burdened with this for many years, and I'm prophesying this will be the year that God opened the door in Jesus' name for us to be involved in a prison ministry. And so we're not just a Matthew 28 church, because if that's all we were, there's no point in saying Jesus loves you and not take care of the needs of humanity. One thing's for certain, we won't be a church that just takes care of the needs of humanity without also bringing people the gospel. We've got to do both. Can you say amen? Let me close by saying this. My gosh, I've seen how laser focused people have been about preserving their health with COVID. Understandably so. We're believing God for Jim Stewart, who's in hospital right now, who's been in there for way too long, who in the natural has not been given a good report about what his future looks like in terms of having to be on a respirator for the rest of his life or needing a lung transplant. And I understand how that people can really, really make sure they are laser focused about taking care of themselves. I've seen people even choose to separate themselves from other family members out of the desire to be in self-preservation. I have thoughts and opinions about all that, but who cares? That's not what I'm trying to say. But let me just say this. If we were as deliberate about our spiritual life as we are our temporal earthly life, the church would be a whole lot healthier than it is right now. Because we will live for eternity. And I'm not minimizing and trying to say we shouldn't be conscious and deliberate and intentional about our earthly life, but I've seen people way more focused on that than they are their spiritual life. And I want to say this to you. Church, look at me. Paul said, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. The Bible says God chooses the foolishness of preaching to confound the wise. I believe with all my heart, the church still is the hope of the world. I believe we need church. I believe the church has never been more important than right now in Jesus' name. Can anybody say amen? I believe everybody online, you're as much a part of this in Jesus' name. I want you to know you are a part of this. And I just want to let you know today, look at me, that we are doing something that hell itself will not prevail against. And it seems to me hell has really launched an assault on the church. I'm amazed. People say, hey, let's, I heard someone say, who was a doctor, and he said, I just discourage people from going to church. And I'm thinking to myself, isn't it amazing? I see football crowds filled, and no one says don't go to that, but people are saying you shouldn't go to church. And there are people today who are trying to deconstruct the church. And I want to encourage you today that you understand that Jesus said he will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen? Come on, can you say amen? I've heard people be antagonistic toward a big church. I don't like a big church. Well, look what a church, even though I don't think we're all that big, look at the church that the influence we have had. Can you say amen? We do that through divine partnerships in Jesus' name. We do that because Wave Church has a vision. I've said this many times and I'll say it again. There are cheaper churches to go to. Church with no vision isn't asking for anything. A church with vision believes we can change our world. I believe every city and every place we have a campus, that if we were no longer there, they would miss us. Amen? And I pray that that is the honest to goodness truth about every place that God plants a Wave campus. Amen? Well, one more thing I want to mention. Luke and Katie Llewellyn have been on our staff for 5 years. And what a great blessing they are. Young couple raised up in a house, and they have been overseeing our young adults and our community groups, and they just in this next season of life just feel like it's time to step off team. Sharon and I have met with them. We feel like this is a good thing for them. Bit of a tough year for them last year. And so I want to let you know they've done a phenomenal job. Look at those statistics right there. They're amazing people. I want to let you know that Devontae Thomas, who's going to be stepping up. Stand up, Devontae. He is going to be taking on all of our young adults and our community groups. He and his wife, Janie, are phenomenal, phenomenal leaders. And I guess tonight will be your first night, Devontae. No pressure. We just want to see it doubled. Praise the Lord. And Janie is going to be taking on, and for Seaboard as well, I want to let you know, Janie is going to be taking on the role at Seaboard of taking on all the royal youth down there. And we're excited for you. We're so excited for you. We pray God's blessing over your life. Matter of fact, come here. I want to lay hands on you. Can everybody stretch your hand out toward Devontae? His wife, Janie, is down at Seaboard right now. Otherwise, she'd be here. Lift your hands. And I actually feel in the Holy Spirit, just to prophesy of you, to think big. Don't let what's happened before limit what dreams God can put in you. I want to encourage you to have you have a big God, and God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ever ask or think, according to the power that's at work within you. I want you to hear this. Here's the word of the Lord, that it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by His Spirit. And if you'll just hear from God, if you'll, I mean this, I'm 58 years old and I'm already beginning to have some reflection. And one of the reflections I have is I wished I was less busier with tasks and I spent more time hearing from God. And I want to encourage you. I want you to understand this. The Lord is with you. The Lord is for you. And He will bring men and women alongside of you. And you are called to be a leader of leaders in Jesus' name. Father, I lay hands on Devontae and we send him apart for this holy calling. We pray, God, right now for the power of heaven to come upon him, to anoint his lips, to preach the gospel, give him wisdom to lead, give him faith, oh God, help him wear the restraint of the vision. Lord, I pray for an army of young adults that would rally beside him. I thank you, Lord, for wisdom beyond his years to lead every community group leader that is part of Wave Church. God, I pray for your anointing to come on him in a fresh way, in a new way. Father, we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Come on, give the Lord a hand in Jesus' name. Amen, Devontae. I love you. You are a son in the Lord. Listen, you are a son in the Lord. And I mean that. I see you as a son in God's house. I see you, I mean this with all my heart. I've watched you for many years. I see you as a son. I know your family background. I want to tell you something. I just believe, Paul said, you got many, many people who are around, many men, but you've got very few fathers. I don't say this about everybody. I don't. Some people say, I choose you as my spiritual father. Amen. But I want to tell you, I choose you as my spiritual son. In the Lord. Amen. Amen. Dream big. Dream big. Don't be afraid to make mistakes. Don't be afraid of pleasing me. Please don't do that. In Jesus' name. Josh Kicker is in here. I asked Josh Kicker in the 9 o'clock service. If you just have to take my word for it, I watched the 9 o'clock service. I asked Josh to come up and I said, Josh, let me ask you a question. When it comes to all the finances and all that he does, he's our general manager. I love Josh Kicker. Just an amazing guy. Incredible. Integrity, discreet, wise. I said to Josh and I asked him, I said, Josh, if you felt like I was asking you to do something that was illegal, unwise, would you feel that you could say no to me? And this was his answer, along with our board, by the way. He said, absolutely, I would. I would feel like I could say no to you if I felt like there was going a direction in terms of, and I said to him, I said, your job is to keep me out of jail. Sometimes I say, hey, let's do this. And Josh goes, you can't do that. Now, I'm not trying to break the law, but my job is not to know all the nonprofit laws. That's his job. And I go, well, can we find a way to still do it, do something like that without with it being legal? Are you hearing me?
and I don't even know, just in terms of like crossing T's, dotting I's. And I tell you something, you heard him say it in the 9 o'clock. Steve, without a doubt, if I ever felt like you were doing something I feel like was wrong, I would say no to you. And also, not only would he say no to me, but I'd listen to him. And I thank God for the people that God's put in Wave Church in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Well, I went long today. I went long in the first service as well. I was trying to cut it short this morning, but there's a lot to download there. How many enjoyed those 10 principles of vision? Amen. Did that help anybody today? Sure helps me.